Blog Talk Radio.
In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul writes these words. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. These are very important verses for us as believing ones. Or I should say the constantly believing ones, because herein lies the secret to living for God in perverse and evil times. You and I must and can only live this life of faith, through the resurrection power of Jesus. Anastasis Necron, the standing up of the body of Jesus. It is because of his resurrection that you and I may be justified or have been justified or made right before God through Jesus Christ, through his great sacrifice. The outraged justice of God towards sin has been satisfied through the blood of Christ. And because you and I are now in Christ through regeneration, we belong to him. You and I were regenerated through the power of the Spirit of God. Paul calls it the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. So there has been that very powerful tidiness in our hearts. You and I are no longer harmonical. That is sinners. And the word harmonious is an adjective. Harmonioi is the plural of the adjective hamartos. You and I are no longer sinners. It is incorrect to say that one is a sinner, because when you the state of being verb is, that state of being verb is does not apply to the child of God with regard to sin. Notice the statement. I am a sinner saved by grace. Two are incongruous. They do not, cannot go together. I am a sinner. I am, think of being for a sinner saved by grace. It's a nonsense statement. Paul writes his letters to the saints, set aside ones in Christ. Paul talks about those who are together, who are held and brought together by God and who compose the body of Christ. We are the soma of the Christ, and he is the kephale. He is the head of the body. It is through him that we receive nourishment, spiritual nourishment, that we might live. He is our life. And so we, of necessity, need his resurrection power. And notice what Paul writes in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness. The words mean to throw beyond. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Dunamios. And the word, that word, dunamis, or the words with duna, means ability. And so, it is a very important for us. The word that dunamis does not mean dynamite. It does not mean explosive. It does not mean explosive power. It does refer to extraordinary power, the extraordinary power of the living Christ in our hearts. Now, notice, he says, he writes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us or toward us who believe, present, active, participle, according to the working energy and or according to the energy of his mighty power. Iskos, a word that has been transliterated as power. Iskos means to be strong. It means to avail. And so we have these different words in the Greek that has been translated as one power in the English. We have dunamis, energian, and we have iskos. So these words are very important for believers to understand, and so that we might. And also we have kratos, which is another word, his mighty power. Kratos is also used here by Paul. And so these words have different nuances of meaning for us. I cannot go into all the nuances at the time, but I want you to get an idea of the source of our power as believers. The source of our power is Christ. Christ Jesus our Lord. He told his disciples that they were to tarry in Jerusalem or to wait until they would be endowed with power from on high. Their lives would be changed. Their lives would be made radically different. Now, I want you to note that the days in which the apostles lived were no different than the days in which we live in perverse times. So did they. We live in the old times. And so did they. The secret to their successful living during their time was the power of God. And believers were intensely persecuted for their faith during the time of the Roman Caesars, Roman emperors, beginning with Decius. And if you would look up the Roman emperor Decius, you read about some heinous things he did to believers. Also, if you would read about some of the other emperors, such as Nero, who had Christians or believers' doubts covered in pitch, and they were affixed to poles, and then they were lit fire in order to give light to his body. Kid you not. And such was the treatment of believers. Believers would be cast into the arena, would be sewn in animal skin, and gored to death. Believers would be made to stand on huge blocks of ice that would be brought into the arena. They would have to stand there nude, and they would freeze to death for the enjoyment of the people of Rome. Now, there are other things that were done to believers. If you would read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it is a very provocative book. And if you would also read the book Jesus Freaks, I'll tell you about some of the things that were done to believers. And when I read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and please get the unabridged version if you go to the book, I read about believers who suffered dismemberment, hanging, drowning, etc. All kinds of heinous and horribly creative tortures. Why were they able to withstand such terrible things done upon their persons? And then I read what Paul wrote about the power of God and what God's tenets provides for his people. And I've got some insight into how these believers were able to endure what they endured. And also, please read about the catacombs when you get an opportunity. Read about the history of Rome with regard to believers, because believers were accused by the Roman government of treason. They were accused of being atheists because they did not worship the Caesars, who they were called atheists. And the believers were accused of incestuous relationships because they referred to one another as brothers and sisters. And they were even accused of child sacrifice because of the celebration of supper, and in their mind, it meant something totally different. So, but these are just some of the things that believers had to endure because of their faith, because of their trust in God. And yet, we read, despite of the things that believers faced, that those in the first century who observed the believing ones with other eyes were able to say, behold, how they love one another. And those words were very powerful. And it was because of the love that others saw believers. This love, this made them attractive to those who did not know the Lord. And so these individuals wanted to know the secret of peace, the happiness, the joy of these believing ones. Their faith made them attractive. They had wonderful testimonies about the love of God through Christ Jesus. And they lived this out unto death. They were individuals who knew that they had a wonderful future in the living God through Christ Jesus. Good evening, my name is Dr. Josiah Richie.